The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Matthew Millhiser, also known as Hokey Boy, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I listen to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 463 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. Did you forget your name for a second?
No, it's
pregnant pause.
It's called the pregnant pause for effect.
Oh, okay. I know you've been listening to a lot of old-time radio shows.
Yes, I've been reminiscing.
You're learning some of the dramatic effects.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get
they never die.
Some blocks that make it sound like you're walking on a
pavement. Yes.
Okay.
Bueller.
Yeah. All right. Whoa! Okay.
For those of you who are watching online... Okay.
So we have a shout out today before we introduce our other co-host, and that is to the amazing and wonderful friend of the show, Rich Gehring. And Rich,
yay!
And yeah, you know Rich. He came to your thing. He has a brand new blog.
I didn't know Chris had a thing.
He came to his Meet Bob from Sesame Street thing. So Rich Gehring and Amanda North have a brand new blog. It's called The D3 Show.
The what show?
The D3 Show. For some reason, you couldn't hear it. The D3 Show, you can find it on Facebook, and there's a link to their WordPress blog. And it has, like, a list of top three things around different areas, and they're going to have guests come on and give their opinion, too, on the blog.
Rich is a smart guy, so I'm looking forward to his thoughts.
He has something in common with you other than the Disney and the running. He now has a two-hour commute. So
Rich does.
Yeah, so he said... What better thing to do than start a blog? So there we go.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice guy. We love Rich.
I sleep on mine.
You sleep on your own.
And I play games on my iPhone. And
okay. Good.
Listen
so
to
we'll know who
political
to
ramp. Pardon me?
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Who else is on the show?
Let's see.
Pregnant pause.
Also on the show is.
The sound effects on the radio show.
Chris Eliopoulos. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm. Fine.
Hold on.
Wow.
Open up this bottle.
Was it a pregnant pause? Were you worried for a second how I would answer?
We were on the edge of our seats.
Yes. So how are you?
I'm doing well. I was down in Maryland this weekend to go visit the Penguin Random House warehouse and a book fair down there, and there were lovely people, and I got such cool stories about the warehouse. I got to ride – in a little bucket 12 stories high into the factory and got to play, you know, factory worker for a while. It was really cool.
Wow. Did you lean over into the chocolate river and fall in?
I actually did say to somebody at some point, I said, if this wasn't about books and it was about chocolate, I would be thinking this was Willy Wonka's factory. This was so
funny.
Cool.
Can I tell people what our newest hobby is, Chris, that we share with each other?
What's our newest hobby?
Well, we both have Google Cardboard holders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're using Google Cardboard camera to share Google images, Google Cardboard images. So Chris is sending me fun things such as the warehouse. So I got to see the warehouse he was in. It was very cool.
I forgot to send you too, because what they did is they set us up at a hotel there, which used to be an old plantation. It was built in 1844. And our hotel room, quote unquote, it was a cottage off of the main building that used to be, I guess you'd call it like the refrigerator. It was a building where they would put ice in the basement, cover it in hay to keep it from melting too quickly, and they would put the food in the building in the summertime to keep it fresh, and then they do afternoon tea in there. So they've converted it into a hotel room of sorts. So it was really wild to be just out there, and the wind was blowing because it was like 12 degrees outside. We had snow flurries, and we're in this little barn out on the side of the road, which was pretty darn awesome. It was fun.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I did a 3D Google image for you, the cardboard image I have to send to you.
Thank you.
So, remind me. I will send it to you.
It's in my office. So I'll bring it. I'll bring my phone. Well, of course I'll bring my phone, but I'll be able to see it tomorrow. So fun. Yes. And I'll show Mike.
Oh, no. And so, never show him anything. You know, he's stupid.
He gets dizzy, but we'll show it to him.
But so today's song that I was listening to on my run today, one of many, which was Oh Yeah by Yellow. Now, do you know where that's from? Can I give you a hint?
The Sun?
Oh, yeah. That one?
Bow, bow.
Oh, yeah. Is it from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah. It's the closing song. Mr. Rooney sits on a bus complaining about his day.
Yeah.
Very upset. And gets offered a gummy bear.
That's a good
I think
one.
Mr. Rooney's going to have a tough week.
But. Yeah. Poor Mr. Rooney.
Always does. So Mike, you got a tip or anything for us?
Yeah, I have a tip. Actually, this tip is something that I know Matt Godbout and I share.
Who?
Matt Godbout. Who's Matt Godbout? Oh, Matt Hochberg. Matt Godbout used to play baseball for me a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
He now works for the Indianapolis Colts.
Goodness.
So Matt Hochberg and I had this, and I thought I was the only one who figured this out, but he did too. So if you happen to be in Walt Disney World and you have planned for the next day to spend a late night in one of the parks, let's say you are going to go to Extra Magic Evening Hours, you may want to sleep late. And what you want to do is you want to have a really good meal. So what you want to do is you want to schedule a meal. If you happen to be a favor of, if you happen to like buffets, you would schedule the last particular seating for breakfast at a buffet that also offers lunch. So you go up the first time and you go up for lunch, for breakfast. You go up the second time and you go up for lunch. Now you're all set for the rest, for most of the rest of the day. So now you can enjoy the rest of the day.
Are you saying you're eating breakfast and then immediately eating
lunch? No. You're going up. Well, people go to buffets and they go up. They like to try stuff. So they will go up and they will try this. And then they'll go, they'll eat their first meal and they'll go up and say, oh, Gino, I want to check this out too. Uh-huh. But if you happen to go to the very last, one of the last seatings.
The food will be changing over.
They'll be changing over. So you can have.
Full from the first
so that's brunch. So you've eaten very lightly on the first
plate. Okay. Wow.
Okay. So today we still are in the midst of trying to cut down on our mailbag. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to finish off the mailbag. And it's almost like trying to finish off the feed bag. And what we're going to also do is we're going to, if we have time, talk about something else. But I think we're going to hold off on saying what we're going to talk about because we want to see if we want to finish the mailbag. Okay, so here's the first question.
Okay. I am not only a Run Disney newbie, but I'm doing Dopey, Go Big or Go Home. I'm looking for any lessons learned, probably the hard way, about logistics, when to not, how long to be in the parks. I arrive on Wednesday and we'll have a car. I figure I can loosely go to the parks at a moderate pace on Wednesday, Thursday, and limited on Friday. Saturday would be crazy unless it's just to eat AP holder. I'm a sponge for your wisdom. I'm staying at All-Star and I'm fairly versed. I'm a fairly versed Walt Disney World veteran. Thank you. William, we missed you on this one, but we'd love to hear about your experience. But let's go around the table and ask anyway. Chris, what about you're a Dopey veteran. What would be your top two or three tips for anybody doing Dopey in terms of logistics or pacing in park time?
Wow, you know, it's funny. When I did it, I was very nervous about doing a lot of park visiting while I was down there because I was always worried about the marathon. I was worried about being so exhausted after 3 days of running that by the fourth day I'd be a mess. I found the opposite. I felt like my legs got warmed up as I, you know, because you train for these kind of multiple day runs, and I actually felt my legs loosen up towards the end, and I PR'd my marathon. But I did take it a bit easy on Thursday and Friday. I went poolside because it was warm enough. And I would really, you know, those concrete walkways everywhere in Disney really do damage to your leg. So try and stay off of them as much as possible. Make sure you still continue to watch what you eat. You know, you go to Disney, you go, oh, I got to try all the food and all that kind of stuff. Don't go crazy. Try and keep it simple. We found that, like, in certain restaurants, they knew a bunch of runners were coming in and they were providing special meals. We went to what's the restaurant in the yacht club that I'm totally forgetting the name of?
Captain's Grill?
Yeah, Captain's Grill. Mm-hmm. And they knew runners were coming in and they made a wonderful meal that was like grilled chicken with pasta and like sun-dried tomatoes. It was just a wonderful, carb-loading, simple. It wasn't over the top because you don't want your stomach crying to you on day three. So make sure you follow what you've been doing in your training. Don't get that Disney bug where you feel like you're there and you want to just take it all in, because you got to remember you're there for a reason.
So. Yeah, I think you make a great point about the resorts too, and I know that I'm guilty of not appreciating what's at the resort. And every Disney resort, whether it's an all-star resort or whatever resort you're at, has really fun things to do, whether it's the pool or whatever, just walking around to take advantage of the resorts. Mike, what about you?
You know, I've never done the Dopey, but I feel like I have enough information and enough experience watching and rooting for people that I can intelligently figure out what I would do, and his some of the advice I would give to anyone.
Don't do it
for the first time. Yeah. First off, listen to what Jeff has said on our show. And Jeff talks about the differences when you're doing a Dopey, when you're doing the 41 plus miles, how you approach the 5K, how you approach the 10K and the half, because let's face it, the big deal here is Sunday. The big deal is the marathon, and you want to make sure you have enough left in the tank. So that's number one. Number two, I personally think that if you are going to do Dopey, you need to get your body acclimated to doing certain things, getting up early, eating at a certain time, resting. So I would say that beginning with the Monday morning of the week that you are traveling to Orlando, I would get up at 3 o'clock. I know this sounds silly, but I think it's important for your body to get acclimated, because you're going to be getting up at 3 o'clock 4 days in a row. And so I think you should get acclimated to that time frame for your body. When you do get to Walt Disney World, I would say limit your time in the parks till maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the absolute latest. Get up early, get an early breakfast, you know, an early lunch and an early dinner. I wouldn't eat dinner beyond 4 to 6 o'clock at night, and I would definitely stay away from salads, concentrate on the carbs, concentrate on the proteins. So I think that's what I would do.
I agree with that one. The getting up early. My friend Nate, who ran the Dopey with me on the inaugural run, him and his parents actually both, all three ran the Dopey, and a month prior to the races, they all started switching their schedule, and they were in bed by like 8 o'clock, and they were waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning for a month. They
oh
did this for
gosh,
a month.
That's dedication. Wow.
Yeah, they wanted to get on that schedule so they weren't waking up exhausted. So I think that's a little bit extreme, but I definitely agree with you, Mike, that you start to try and make that transition a little bit better.
Yeah. The only thing I would add, and I know this isn't a luxury that everybody has, but if you can put your park days, put them off until after your run, and you know, do your kind of your Disney vacation.
That's an option.
After.
Yeah.
That's a great option to have. Yeah. All right, Chris.
Okay, Ryan Teets from, I don't know where he's from, writes, hello, I want to start off by saying I'm a big fan of the show and listen as soon as they come out. Thanks, Ryan. In the most recent show, Chris and Mike discussed the state of Run Disney registration. During the show, Mike was surprised that the full marathon in WDW hasn't sold out. The full hasn't sold out in a few years now. It's been one of the last to sell out if it does. So the full being open is no surprise. Mike mentioned Goofy being available. Goofy is going to be 12 years old in January. Goofy was defeated by Dopey, which is why it's available. People seem to just say, what the heck, I'll add on the two smaller races and do Dopey instead of doing Goofy. Along with the full marathon, Goofy is one of the last to sell out in recent years, if it does sell out at all. The half marathon turns 20 this coming January and was one of the fastest races to sell out. Dopey was sold out at one point, but Run Disney opened the registration back up a few weeks ago. I think in terms of Dopey, a lot of people are waiting for 2018. In 2018, we have the 25th anniversary of the 5K and full marathon, as well as the 5th anniversary of the 10K and Dopey Challenge. 2018 is going to be a big year for the WDW Marathon Weekend. I do agree with you guys that there are a lot of factors going on here with pricing, no deferrals, and maybe a saturation point. Thanks, Ryan. And, you know, this is something that maybe we were considering talking about later, but he was talking about the differences in how when the races sell out and why do they sell out. And so he was talking about, you know, 2018 selling out differently than maybe 2017 because of the different anniversaries and stuff like that. So do you think that's a factor?
I think that, well, if we go to the
the Run Disney website.
The Run Disney website, and we take a look at the registrations. I think that as of this date, which we are recording on March
5th,
what is not sold out is the marathon, the Goofy, and the half. And, of course, you can also say Castaway Key and Run Disney. But I think that... The Run Disney kids races. The factors that he mentioned... are true. I think that the prices have a lot to do with it. Not just the price of the races, Chris, but the overall prices, ticket prices, the cost of flying down there, the cost of the food, the cost of the rooms, that all comes into play here. So I think that's...
Saturation of races, too. Yeah. This is not the only game in town anymore.
Exactly. And I think that there are, to your point, Michelle, there are destination races out there that for many of those who have done these races, that's a little bit more exotic, like doing, let's say, the Lululemon half marathon. That's very popular. The ones that are out in California, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Sur, I mean, there's the...
Marine
the,
Corps.
Everything. There's so many out there, so I think that's part of it, too. I think that... Going forward, we are seeing certain things that Run Disney is doing, offering different challenges, moving races from nighttime to daytime, offering inaugurals, doing something with the medals. There's a lot of things that they're doing, but I think that the prices and, you know, we cannot forget about the deferral policy.
And let's be clear, Run Disney is not going under. I mean, they're still doing fine. I don't see a huge difference, or at least I didn't when I was there in January, in terms of the fields being less crowded.
So
they're doing fine.
The Run Disney brand is a microcosm of the Walt Disney Company brand and the Walt Disney World brand. And I will tell you that it's a fact. It is a fact that so far this year, attendance is down. Mm-hmm. Attendance is down in all of the Disney theme parks. However... it's down, but revenue is up. Why? Because prices have gone up. So just like you said, Michelle, the registration frenzy is down, but I don't think they're hurting because they have raised the prices. The thing that may hurt them, though, is that even though they may raise prices and they may not sell out, because they don't sell out, that's less chance of those rooms. Those beds, like Jim Hill would say, those beds won't have heads in them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a possibility. And
hopefully the rest of the body's there too, not just that.
And I think Chris, the thing is that if they're going to turn it around, I think they need to add wrinkles to these race weekends.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, you know, it's funny because he was discussing all of the different anniversaries and stuff. So if you're looking at this year, right? So we looked at the Dopey and both and the Runner's World exclusive, which is much more expensive, have all sold out. The 5K and the 10K is sold out, but it's the 25th anniversary of the marathon, and that has not sold out. So I don't know if that's necessarily a factor anymore. I think what's going for Disney right now and the Disney runs in Disney World in this specific race is that the Dopey is something you can't get anywhere else. You know, that's the one thing you can't. Now, the Goofy, yeah, it's kind of there. But like he even said, and probably we've all said, if you're already doing the Goofy, adding in, you know, another 9 miles is not going to really be that tragic. So people are looking to go for that extreme race. So I just find it interesting because the 20th, I remember, sold out really quick. And the 25th has not sold out as of yet. So, you know, it's interesting. I think people are going to go for more of the extreme. Although maybe I'm wrong. The 5 and the 10K sold out too. So it's one of those things. I'm not quite sure as to what. I mean, we have a lot of theories, but nothing ever concrete, you know, Michelle?
No, I think you guys hit upon all the points. There's not much I can add. You covered it.
Sorry.
It was good because I just took a little nap here. All right. So the next question, Mike?
We're going to go to Brian Worcester, who says, hello, I really enjoy listening to the podcast. I'm a relatively new runner. I started because of the Run Disney virtual shorts this past summer and had a great time. It would be great if you talked more about how you train, apps you use, etc. Thanks for the podcast.
In terms of training and apps, definitely. We're hoping to have our buddy Tara come on and talk about nutrition very soon. Jeff Galloway is coming back on. Lucky for us, we never run out of topics. And sometimes we circle back and do topics that we've done before. But Brian, we have 460 some odd, many odd podcasts before this. So you're welcome to go back and listen to some of those. A lot of the information carries forward, like running in the cold and nutrition podcasts and things like that. Right.
Yeah. Plus, not to mention the fact that probably come August, my dopey training, because I'm going to be dopey and then go over to Star Wars Light. I'm going to do a lot of training, so maybe we'll sort of have a little check-in to talk about training things and what I'm doing, and hopefully, you know, the upsides to things and possibly even the downsides. So hopefully, we'll get more of that conversation going.
For me, it's been so cold here, but I've been hurt, so I haven't done a lot of running lately, but I was thinking of having my Orange Theory folks come on to talk about strength training. So we could do that. All right. The next question is from Jackie Thomas. And Jackie says, hi, thanks so much for an awesome magic-filled podcast. Why, thank you, Jackie. I have a question about the 2018 marathon weekend registration. First, I didn't realize that registration opened on February 14th until you mentioned it on the podcast. That feels too early. I thought in the past it has been March or April. Regardless, how quickly do you think it will sell out? In particular, I'm interested in the Goofy, but I haven't made a definite decision whether or not to register. Are the races still selling out the day the registration opens? Your past experience advice is much appreciated. Well, this is timely because, Chris, we know that you were there, actually. You got Goofy. I'm sorry, you got Dopey right away. Goofy is still available, though, because I haven't signed up, and I'm going to be doing it.
Yeah, Dopey went pretty quick. I think it went by the weekend because my friend Nate wanted to sign up, and I warned him to book it because it was a fifth anniversary, and that thing was sold out, I think, before the Saturday after it came on, not the DVC, not the AP, but the regular went on sale. So, it seems like we don't seem to have those day of blowout sales anymore, do we?
Well, I guess it depends on the. I mean, the challenge races always seem to go pretty fast, regardless.
But not day of, though.
Yeah, not day of. It takes a few days. It's not like some years it was 2 hours and it was sold out, right? But Jackie, I hope you got in. Please let us know how you did. Hope you were able to get in. Mike, anything to add?
I think, Jackie, you're right. I think that normally the registrations opened up approximately 9 months before the race weekend. And I think because of the slowdown in the frenzy, because of the slowdown in the way the registrations have been going, Disney decided to add another 30 days of registration so that by the time their deadline comes in for doing a lot of things, which is usually about 30 to 45, maybe even 60 days before the race weekend, they like to have things all settled. But yeah, you're right. It used to be 9 months ahead. So we'll see. I think that the challenge races go first. I think those are the ones that seem to sell out first. And then the ones that don't are the 5K.
It's opposite this year.
Yeah. So,
like, I'm surprised that the marathon has not sold out. It's 25th anniversary. Like that one, unless they added, you know, slots for that race. I don't know why that one wouldn't have been a quicker sellout. I mean, I know more people go you know, of all the races, the marathon is the highest number of entries. But still, that seems like it would have been a, you know, a pretty...
Well, another thing that's interesting, too, is that we said the half marathon wasn't sold out. And I'm wondering how people handled the race cancellation. I know, Mike, you deferred. So how many, if you were to, you know, split up that piece of pie, how many people deferred? How many people took the gift certificate? How many people took the, you know, I don't know. It would seem to me that it would have sold out sooner with people coming back trying to...
I'm sure a lot of people deferred to... I wonder how many people deferred to the princess.
Yeah.
That might have been a...
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, we'll continue to try to make our magic here at the podcast. So thank you for listening. Chris?
All right. So Allison Ramos Miller writes, "Hey, Mickey Miles and more. Questions for y'all. I am the only person in my family of four has an AP. We have a trip booked in September that starts the day before my AP expires. My plan was to pay for my 7-day park hopper along with the rest of the family and renew my pass when we get there. That way, I would remain eligible for any promotions that came out, like free dining, where AP holders typically are excluded. Will I be able to get credit for my ticket price against my renewal if I do this? Thanks so much." All right, Mike, what do you think?
Well, it looks like Allison is thinking about trying to get the best of both worlds here. Because, number one, she is going, it sounds like she's going to buy a 7-day park hopper, which is about $540 for each, for an adult anyways, for each of everybody in her traveling party. And then she's going to renew her pass so that she would be eligible for any promotions that came out, like free dining. However,
basically she's asking if she can buy the park hopper ticket and then use that for any like free dining promotions, because you have to buy it as a package. And then she wants to know if then she can say, "Well, I just bought these tickets. Can I now take the money back from my park my annual pass?" But I don't think Disney ever does that. Right, they would never refund
or put it towards your. I've never. Once you buy a ticket,
if you're going to buy free dining, wouldn't you have to have that booked before you even get there?
Well, that's I think what she's planning to do. I think she's planning to say, "I'm hoping they're going to come up with free dining, so I'm going to buy the park hopper," because you have to buy it as a package. You get your hotel and you get your park hopper. Because if you're an annual pass holder, you just buy the hotel. So she's trying to basically say, "I'm going to buy that to get the free meals." And then ask them when I get there to take that money and discount it off of my annual pass. And I know Disney will not do that.
I am not an expert in free dining for 2017, but I have purchased free dining in the past while I had an annual pass. And all I had to do was buy just 1-day ticket admission. And I had free dining. However, the other thing is that if you do go for free dining, you cannot get a discount, as far as I know. Again, I would defer to an MBI travel agent.
For your room?
If you're doing free dining, you pay full rack rates, number one. And number two, in the past, I don't know how it is now, in the past you had to buy one, each person on the plan had to buy one at a 1-day ticket. So, I you know, again, this is something for MEI agent to talk about.
We are going to have an MEI agent on.
Yeah, who do we know?
ASAP.
I know somebody I haven't seen in a while. So what's going on here? But yeah, I would be really careful with that stuff.
Yeah. I think it's really. I would just go.
I totally get what she's trying to do.
Yeah. It's crafty, but I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah.
You don't want to be.
Because Disney never wants to give back money.
Right.
And so they're not going to just say, "Well, you bought this, and now you're buying an AP, and we're just going to, you know, deduct that off of it." Doesn't happen.
They never give refunds.
And I'll tell you, the last thing I want to be doing when I'm ready to start my vacation with my family is to be in line at guest services trying to argue this one out in the hot Florida sun when I want to be riding Space Mountain. So I would try to – I think – so what would you do? I think if I wanted the free dining, just stick with the 7-day park hopper, right?
Well, again, Michelle, I'd love to. I would talk to my travel planner and say, What are the what is the entire policy now for free dining? Because Disney is like the wind, like the weather. It changes every.
So we're gonna have to. Yeah. We will put it on our to-do list. We got to get an MEI agent on.
ASAP. Becky. Oh, sorry, I had
a
cough.
Talked to Becky for ages. We'll have to get her on.
She's on a boat probably somewhere.
Yeah.
Or on a plane.
I'm on a plane. Okay. Go ahead.
We got time for one last question?
We have another one?
Is it me?
It's you. And it's Frank.
It's Frank. Hey, Frank. Frank has a hint for the day. He says, if you need a hint for the day for the podcast, here it is. A few days ago, we arrived at Epcot parking lot mid-afternoon, and at that time, cars were being parked in the lot to the left as you face Epcot, and the trams were dropping off guests at the left side of the entry. So guests from cars and trams all being funneled to left entry side. When we walked up to the security area, there must have been 20 people at least in every line. I told my wife perhaps the security line on the right side was less crowded. So we walked around to the right side, and to my surprise, there was no one, nada, in those security lines. So they checked bags and walked right in. Four or five security bag checkers and a couple of other security guards there, and we were the only two people being checked. So the hint is, don't always assume that both sides are equally busy. That's correct. One of the things is that you never know. The approach to the security lines at the check-in lines at Epcot are different than Animal Kingdom, Studios, and Magic Kingdom. So you just have to get it. You have to get a gut feeling as you're walking up. Michelle?
I think that he brings up a great point, which is you have to be aware. And I think when you get into a crowd situation, you start to think like the crowd and you follow wherever people are going. That seems to be the right place to go, and you kind of have the lemming approach. But I think you just kind of have to just stop and look at what's going on, and I think Frank handled this very well. I know, Mike, you're always, when I go with you, you're always, if I start to go in a direction where everybody's going, you'll say, wait, look over there, and go over to the other security. So it might save you, for me, it's not so much the saving of the time, because I go so often. It's the saving of the stress of being in line. So I like it for that reason alone. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, that's the thing, is you just have to, like we always talk about other things too, just be aware of your surroundings. Sometimes you can go somewhere. I mean, look, I tend to try, and nowadays, because my kids are older, we don't have to worry so much about carrying bags. I try to go bagless when I go in so that I don't have to go through the security line. I can go in right through the non-bag line too. So, there's things that you can do and look out for, and don't follow the lemmings off the cliff. Sometimes it's better to go around and go somewhere else.
I continue to say that if you go to any park, the first lines I look for are the ones on the edges, because all the way over to the left, all the way over to the right, usually guests will form one line, and there's two lines. The guards are going to the left, they're going to the right, they're alternating. So look for the far left, look for the far right. That's the way I
would love it if people sent more tips in if they want to share them.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have lots of great tips. Thank you, Frank.
And I would say that does it for the mailbag.
Letters.
So we get letters every day.
And actually, one of the things we were going to talk about was the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend and registration. So we actually covered that topic. So that
thank
was
you, Ryan.
So
thanks for leading us down the road.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So I guess that's it for now. And we do have some plans to have some guests coming up this month, and we're in the process of securing them. These are people who have been on this and other podcasts in the past, and we're hoping to bring them back on to make for an interesting month. So with that, I'm going to say, for Chris Saliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.